comes to this time with Holy Week and its conclusion with Holy Week, there's been so many reflections that we have gone through from the beginning of Holy Week, from Palm Sunday, the great rejoicing that was there, that the people had to honor Christ as King, strewing palms before Him. We honored that with our own procession, and took palms with you, taking you home as a symbol that we honor Christ as King. Yet within a few days, those same people are asking for His death, demanding His death, demanding that Pilate crucify Him. And so He was. He was crucified at that particular point. But in between all those particular events, there was the time of Christ's agony in the Garden of Olives. His apostles and disciples were there with Him as He was in His agony. And then all of a sudden, the temple guards with Judas came, and the kiss was there, the betrayal, arresting Jesus in order that He might come to a trial at that point. That so frightened the apostles that we see that all of them fled away except for St. John. He seemed to have fled a little bit and then came back to show comfort to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so at that particular point, then the ones that had fled, whether they went to Bethany or wherever they went at that point, they got word that Jesus was condemned to death, that when He was brought before Pilate, that Pilate went ahead with what the high priest had wanted and set Him up to be crucified, that He was cruelly scourged, crowned with thorns, made to bear His own cross, and then crucified between two thieves on Calvary. All the apostles would have heard these things at that particular point. Others of His faithful followers, some of the holy women, some of whose names are mentioned in the Gospel of today, would have seen these particular events, and a shock would have come upon them, that Christ would have actually come to this point, that He would be crucified, put to death within such a short period of time, all because He claimed, and the Jews didn't like this particular part, that He was the King of the Jews. And so Christ dies. The body is taken down reverently because it is the Sabbath day. They can't do the ordinary anointing for those who are dead, so they just quickly wash the body and then take the body and put it in the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had set up. And then we see from the gospel story of today that two of the women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, three women at that point, they bought the sweet spices that were necessary for anointing the body according to the Jewish ritual. Even though Jesus had died, they would still fulfill that. It was an act of love on their part. They wanted to make sure that all that could be fulfilled and should be fulfilled would be done. The in-between time, the Saturday in between, from the death of Christ until His resurrection, it must have been a terrible time of worry and wonder on the part of these holy women, on the part of the apostles, from fear, would they too be picked up? Would they too be brought in for judgment? And would they too be put to death because they were His direct disciples? The fear that they had in them that during that particular point, the uncertainty now of what would take place, brought them to the upper room where they had just had the Last Supper. It just seems like the love they had for Jesus, everything just led them back to there, to where Peter would be, to get a sense of direction of like, what would we do now? And these holy women comforted themselves during that particular time, saying, we're not sure what we will do now, but at least we will do this. We will go to anoint the body. So these are actions. These are the thoughts that are in their heart. Almost a hopelessness. Almost a great discouragement. Not necessarily going to call it despair, but still a great discouragement had fallen upon them and all these particular things that they heard and all that happened. But despite the discouragement, the women fulfilled their duties, the men gathered together, and then they got word. The women, as we read in the gospel right now, how they went to the tomb and heard from the angel that Jesus had risen. Was it then that they remembered what He said? Was it remember that He told them that they would put Him to death, the Son of Man would be mocked and spit on and scourged, and after that, and be put to death, and after that, in 3 days, He would rise from the dead. Just as Jonas was in the body of the whale for 3 days, so too the Son of Man be in the body of the earth for 3 days, and after that, rise from the dead. Maybe at that point they remembered those words? Not sure. With the apostles as Mary Magdalene came to them and explained to them what she had seen. Because the angel tells her, go tell Peter what has happened. He's the head of the apostles. And he can start to have both the comfort, the others around him, and should show some leadership at that particular point. And then, as Jesus said, that he would go and meet them in Galilee, they would find him there. So maybe they started to get some encouragement at this particular point. What started to come back to their hearts was hope. If you remember, I had mentioned just a few minutes ago about the idea that one of the graces that comes to us at this particular time of Eastertide is the hope that is found in the resurrection of Christ. Hope. That's a virtue that we can use the word confidence with it. We can put the word trust. Any of those particular point all applies to this idea of what hope is. Jesus had told the apostles, and like I said, and the holy women, to all those around him, that he would die, and then eventually he would rise from the dead. Their grief, their discouragement that came upon them, had them forget all of these things. Just the shock of the very things that were taking place at that point. Even that Saturday reflection didn't bring back to them the names or the what Jesus had told them. They didn't come back to their mind of any of those particular points until they were reminded of the resurrection. And it just seems probably at that point everything started to come back. Yes, the Master did tell us this. Yes, this is what's here. And so hope starts to take place of that discouragement in their heart. They still don't know yet what the future will be, but it's not as dark and dreary because Jesus is here. Hope is a wonderful virtue. Hope is both a passion that's inside of us, it's part of our nature, as well as a supernatural virtue, a supernatural good habit that is embedded in our souls at baptism. As a passion, it's an impulse toward an absent good. That despite all the obstacles that seem to be in the way, we're going to acquire that good. Why else would people do so many things in their life, go after careers, do things with their family and friends and all that, if they didn't hope that they could fulfill what it is that their desires are? They wouldn't do them at all. So there's those thoughts that are part of us in every particular way. I'm sure there can be discouraging times that come on all of us. But it's just underlying, there's that hope as something that drives us, saying, yes, this can be done. And so we go ahead to fulfill it. But it's the supernatural virtue of that. That's what's so important here. One of the great reflections at Easter time is about baptism, because many times there are baptisms that take place at the Easter vigil. And so the thoughts continue with that, of the baptisms that have taken place, the newly baptized Christians, the thoughts that are in their hearts, the love of God, hope, increase of faith, love of God, all these particular things that comes into their hearts at that particular point. So that's why we look at hope. It's one of those virtues that when we're baptized, God places into our soul. Supernatural virtue. It's strengthened by the faith that we have in God. It helps us to desire God as our highest good. And the fulfillment that God has promised to us, that heaven will be ours, will take place. Because God doesn't lie. That's what faith tells us. Faith tells us that God doesn't lie. He is God Almighty. He is truthful. The resurrection is a proof that God doesn't lie. He tells us, he told his apostles he would die, but he would rise again. He told them. And it did take place. From that point, we understand everything else. Jesus says that he is the Son of God and God himself. He doesn't lie. He has proved by his resurrection that there is that very power, that very strength that is there. And we can put every belief and trust in him and love him greatly. The three great virtues, faith, hope, and charity. We can place all of that in him. Because he's proved to us he doesn't lie. We're living in a world today that thinks religion, God, whatever, is a lie. People are trying to place their hope and trust in material things, in other situations around them. Material things that come and go. Over a period of time, they may bear with us, but after a while, they corrupt, they go away. They can put their hope in other people, other circumstances, strong personalities. But even so, we find that those things are not strong enough to be able to carry people through in their hope. And so we live in a society today just searching and searching and searching. Having ridiculed religion, especially Christianity, having tried to find that in the resurrection there's nothing but lies, and then having scientifically and all these things have to find out, well, I guess it did happen. I guess this resurrection did take place. But they still want to believe that. They would rather put their trust in other things. And so we have this world of people that are just searching to find something solid in life, something upon which to place their hope and trust. And they're not finding it enough. You and I have found it. We've come together to honor Jesus and his resurrection. We believe by the strength of our faith that Jesus has risen from the dead. He arose as he said so, proving to us that he is God. And whatever else he promises or whatever else he teaches us, we can both believe them. We can trust in everything that he promises of us of eternal life and all that we need to get there, to help us, to assist us by his providence in every way in our lives, even though it may not seem like it. Crosses and trials come our way in so many different things, and yet to the person with faith, they understand the crosses and trials, the very thing that Jesus himself went through. He said, no disciple is above his master. If I have suffered, so too will you. But he is there, as he told St. Paul. The grace of God is there to assist through all of these points. That's the trusting thing that people of faith have. When they have that strong faith, then hope comes. Naturally, it's strengthened. And then strengthen those too. And then the real strong love of God, not love of material things, not love of others, not love of some person, a strong personality, not love of anything else but God. And trusting in God and all the things of God have. Now you have something solid there. The very thing that changed the world 2,000 years ago when the apostles went forth to preach the gospel everywhere is the very thing that is needed today to change the world. But the world has seen it in so many different ways. They've heard of Christianity, and they've mocked it. Maybe, some people have said, that maybe people in the world who have mocked religion before, over the past 20, 30, 40 years, maybe they will see that they have been wrong and start to come back. Or maybe it'll be their children who have seen where their parents have gone wrong and not putting faith and trust in something that's more solid than material things or whatever. To find it in God, what the world had found before, the strength, the hope, the love that's promised to all, it comes in every way, they'll find it again. Maybe they will. That is something that you and I can pray for. But in the meantime, it is something that you and I, having fully understood this message of hope, bring into our own hearts. Do you have trials and difficulties? Yes. God has promised to help us through if we pray. Place all our care upon him. My yoke is sweet, my burden is light, he tells us. The scriptures are so filled with words of consolation that even in time of trial and suffering, if we would but take the time to restore hope instead of discouragement that often comes with discouragement with suffering, I'm not going to say the suffering goes away, it doesn't. But we're able to handle it better as Christians and followers of Christ. Remembering that our times will not necessarily follow with it a death and into resurrection, but we are followers of the crucified God. Something that the early Greeks and Romans had a hard time believing in. That a God would die and then rise from the dead. How could that happen? And yet when faith came into their hearts and they could see it and heard from people who were witnesses to this, then they started to believe and it changed their lives. It changed the world. It's what civilized the world. This faith, this hope, in our crucified God who is resurrected. You and I need to pray today for a strengthening of hope. Strengthening in such a way that we are so confident, we are so filled with this hope, that when we meet people around us who are having difficult and hard times, we'll be able to encourage them, point the way to them, telling them, this is a hard time for you, this is a time of trial, difficulty, whatever it might be. Cast all your care upon God, because He has care of you. And I have learned that by experience, and I'm here to tell you it is true. God does not lie. He has promised His help. He has promised His strength. He will give it. All we have to do is take the few steps toward Him to see to it that it can be fulfilled. That's our message of Easter. I mentioned about the Paschal candle that we have burning here, that it's a symbol of the resurrected Christ. Why don't we take this as a symbol of the hope of the resurrection? Every time we come into church, during Eastertide, from now until Ascension Thursday, as we see the candle burning here, the flame, this particular point, showing us the light of Christ is out to the world, let that be a restoration of light in our own hearts. And with that light, we will go for and try and bring into the darkness of the world one person at a time, one situation at a time, a restoration of hope, a restoration of confidence, finding that there is strength outside of something than material stuff and everything here. What everybody else is looking for, it's here. Rediscover it once again. Find that strength once again. And changes will come upon men. True peace will come to the world because men have, first of all, found peace in themselves with the grace and the strength of God. This is what Easter means for us. It's this strengthening of faith, this confidence, this hope that is here. Once again, my prayer for you is that the blessings of hope that come at this time will fill your hearts. Fill the hearts of all those in your family and friends. Bring back that confidence and strength that is only found in the faith and love of Jesus Christ and in the hope of His resurrection. Once filled that way, be as apostles at work or at school, among family. Be as apostles. Strengthen others. Lead them along. Let's work to restore hope to this world. In whatever circumstance that we have, one person at a time, let's work on that. It can be done. If we ourselves are filled with this hope, this understanding, this confidence, and nothing will stop us to do that, then people will see that and feel inspired and come along that way too. I pray that this hope will fill your hearts and be with you for all your days. Starting from this point, understanding the importance of the message of the resurrection, and that it will stay with you and with all of us for the rest of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.